This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio. Let's talk tech. But instead of talking tech with Nelson Rego today, we've assembled something of a round table to get everybody's perspective on the technology impacting their lives. So, who's part of the round table, you ask? Well, down the hall in Studio One, we have Mike Ross. On the other side of the glass from me, we have Sam Robinson in the audio control room. And then from the depths of somewhere in Toronto, Andrika Delanarol, our senior producer, is joining us as well. So let's jump right in to our first topic here, and that's Amazon's new masculine voice. Our TV technical producer, Bruce McLaren, has acquired some sound of this new male voice being used by Amazon. Let's give it a listen and get everybody's reaction. So Bruce, roll that tape.
Change voice.
Okay, you're all set. I'll be the voice you hear when you speak to this device. If you'd like to change how you wake me up, you can also change your wake word.
Ooh, okay. My initial reaction is I'm kind of digging that. Let's go down the hall to Mike Ross. Mike, what do you think of that new masculine voice for Amazon?
I like it. It gives you a little bit of something different, which I'm always a fan of.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to tell my dad about this because I once pulled a prank on him on a long road trip. I was sitting at the very back of a minivan. And I was controlling the GPS system, and after a long stretch of no instructions, because it was like now drive 44 kilometers or whatever, I started changing the voice on him, started changing the language on him. So suddenly it was in Chinese Mandarin, and he didn't understand a thing. Grew very, very frustrated with me, but I think he'll like this one.
Yeah, I like the sound of that voice too. It's very bassy. It doesn't sound too robotic at all. Andrika Delanarol, what do you think?
I'm an iPhone user, and I know that was a thing with Siri where you can change the more masculine or feminine. You could even get like an Australian accent or a British accent, but I'm pretty good with like the basic stuff. I'm a very plain person.
Yeah, keeping it simple.
It makes no difference to me, really.
Yeah, it's like vanilla ice cream. Keep it simple sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I love vanilla ice cream.
Sam Robinson, what do you think of that voice?
I'm loving it personally, and I think I can use a reference here that everybody else will be able to understand, and it kind of reminds me of how Pierce Brosnan played the voice of Powerhouse or Ultra House 3000 on The Simpsons.
Mm.
It was the Hal sort of lookalike. And I found that the voice was like, it was like Pierce Brosnan, but take away the accent. It was very smooth, very rich. We're a long way from like the early days of Siri and voice assistants where it was incredibly robotic. And I know we've talked about like Voco, the sort of audio synthesizer that you just put in a whole bunch of speech of somebody talking and you can make them say whatever you want. I think that there's that technology has gotten to the point where it's smooth, it's nice, and I'm all for it. Bring it on.
We've come a long way from the days of Microsoft Sam with its very robotic, stilted voice. All right, guys, let's jump into a couple of quick hitters here. And the first thing I want to talk to you guys about is low-cost tech. You guys have heard me talk about before how I love to buy cheap headphones, and I've since added to the collection. I've brought some here with me today. As you guys know, I've been trying to get back in shape and working out, and I found my over-the-ear headphones were just making me a little hot when I was trying to run outside or get some time in on the elliptical machine. So I bought this new style of headphone. I don't know if they're new, but they're new to me, where they're called running headphones. So they're wireless in the sense that they're Bluetooth, but there are wires, so you put them down on the back of your neck, and then you put the earbuds into your ears. So even if they fall out of your ears, there's still something hanging off the back of your neck so you don't lose them. I paid $18 for these. I'm very happy with this purchase. But it goes to a trend of me probably spending over $150 in the last 12 months on cheap headphones. So I'm curious, Sam Robinson, what is a low-cost tech item that you find yourself buying more often than you should?
I think it's audio adapters, mostly because I'm always finding that, like, I'm a person who really likes to have just his audio connection. ideally, although I'm with you on the Bluetooth headphones, especially for running, that style is quite necessary. When I plug in my headphones, it's always, you either have the quarter inch jack, which is the big one, or the eighth inch jack, which is the little one. Mm-hmm. And the eighth inch jacks, they started taking them off phones, but thankfully we're starting to see a little bit more of a trend of bringing them back.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that there are these little tiny pieces of metal that require precise contacts of these little pins, and they're going to be the first thing that breaks if it's an item that you use constantly. So I'm always getting new audio adapters.
New audio adapters. Because
they're cheap,
sense.
And there's no reason in spending lots of money on one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Drika, what about you?
You know what? I'm trying to avoid buying any accessories, but I would say accessories are the big thing. There was a chunk of years where my partner kept like his charging cables kept breaking, so he kept buying new ones, but they were never of the brand of his phone. And we just got like so many as like stocking stuffers and gifts and everything. And I think they're just terrible because, you know, they break easily. And really, I only found like the success with the brand of whatever the associated phone is of that cable. So that for me, that's been quite excessive in the house. But I'm trying to cut down because once they break, I don't know what to do with them. I feel bad throwing them in the trash. So I'm currently trying to find who's going to accept, you know, these dead cables.
My broken charging cables. And we're going to get to charging cables more specifically in a second, Andrika. But Mike, what's a low-cost technology that you find yourself maybe buying more than you should?
Thumb drives.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're everywhere. And then you find them. And it kind of takes me back to the days of the PC with the small disks.
The 3.5 floppies.
Which you would find, disks. Right? You would find those years later and go, what's on this? And then you go onto it and you find like your grade 9 English paper or something. Just craziness. So I find the same thing with these thumb drives. So thankfully, we've got into the habit now of buying a couple of portable hard drives. And so everything, all our pictures and everything go onto that instead of those thumb drives, because there's just too darn many of them.
Yeah, so speaking of too darn many, and Andrika, you mentioned this as well. Here comes the world of Dave Brown yelling at clouds, personal gripes. Are there too many kinds of chargers for devices? On vacation, my bag was exploding with wires between USB-C and regular USB and my iPad charger and a million other things. Now, I do have one very useful thing that our colleague Elena Falcone gave me when I started working under the Toronto office. It's one of these USB, I'm going to hold it up, I brought props today, one of these USB plugs, so it plugs into your any USB slot, but then has your USB-C, your micro USB, as well as your Apple charger. Now, the only problem is the wire is too short. I can't quite like use this in a functional way in when I'm away from like a computer or like within sort of 2 inches of a wall. But this is a great invention, but I do feel like there are too many different kinds of charging ports. We need to get on board and pick one. Sam, what do you think of that?
I mean, I'm on board with all of that too. I think there's also a lot of interesting legislation coming out of the US right now where the Biden administration had actually said to the FCC that they are allowed to make rules that would increase the what is called the right to repair. So the ability of people to repair electronics. And I think that also has a similar sort of relation here in that we have so many throwaway electronics. And not only that, but so many differing standards. I mean, imagine if we had different sockets for light bulbs. There would be pandemonium. So I think that there and it was a bit of a, you know, it was a bit of a weird thing of industrial sort of history of why, you know, sockets sort of grew like that. But, you know, we haven't had anything of a similar note within the tech industry for a little while. In fact, Apple keeps on taking away support for things. Does anybody remember FireWire? So I think that, yes, there are too many. And that there is a solution for it, but it's not one that will be done sort of by companies on their own.
It's one the capitalists are not going to like.
Nah.
Not Comrade Robinson and Brown are on the same page.
Overthrow.
Though. Mike, what about you? Do you think there's too many different kinds of charging cables?
100%. And for some reason, when I go looking for one, I end up finding one that is from like four phones ago. And it's like, why? Why do I? And you plug in it. Why doesn't it fit? It's like the last piece of a puzzle and it just won't do it. I'm like Andrika. I've got all these wires and I don't know what to do with them. I feel awful just sending them to landfill, but I don't know what else to do. So they join the rest of the collection of wires in that. It kind of looks like that snake pit from Indiana Jones when you open that drawer. Yeah,
I've got a black box, like a little black box that a Bluetooth speaker came in that's just chock full of old wires and HDMI cables and all kinds of stuff. Andrika, I think you kind of tipped your hand a little bit to the answer to this question with your first answer, but I do want to get your perspective on the number of wires and are there too many forms of charging wire?
Too many to count. And they all are either like the same, like there was this one, I actually have a demo here too of the same little thing that you pointed out with the multi-cables. And there's one here and it's, so one is clearly for an Android, the other is for an Apple device. And the other one's like the old cable that you would use for like digital cameras. And
yeah, micro USB, yeah.
Yeah, for a while, like that was the standard. And then they introduced all these other ones. It's so confusing. It's quite inconvenient. I mean, Apple had a totally different charging cable before, mm-hmm. and I don't know why they changed it. I guess it was a size thing, but it's way too many. And I know that like Apple products, like they, the new ones, like they stop giving you, I think it's the adapter or the cable, something like that.
Yeah, they stop giving you the charging, like the actual plug for to plug into the wall.
The adapter then, yeah. Which is also kind of annoying because, you know, while I have a lot of them also go missing.
Yeah. And like fast charging. I like fast charging. Exactly. Sometimes I want to get a good fast charge
going.
Yeah.
Not to mention that all the fast charging options too, like all these extra cables we have, you don't like these are batteries that we're trying to charge. That's the big tech here is batteries and all of your headphones, all your phones. Like that's the big thing here. And then how do you charge them? And if you have fast charging, that's great. But it's all also it's tied to the type of cable you're using and the type of charger you're using. You can't get that from just plugging it into a USB in a computer. So it's super inconvenient. And even like wireless charging options are based on the model of the phone that you have as well too. So there's really like, there's lots of different options for you, but you're going to be limited in some way. And then also let's talk about e-waste, Christ.
Yeah, that's a big part of it too, for sure. All right, guys, we've got to be a little bit quick with this last one, but I'm curious about a piece of tech or an app that you guys have been using every day that you used to maybe have a little bit of fun or do a little bit of escapism. Mike, I'm going to start with you. Is there something that you log into every day or a piece of tech you use every day that sort of gives you a little bit of a mental health break?
Games. Absolutely games. I got a bowling game on my phone, and I have a game called Wordzy, which is like a word puzzle type game, and I play those every single day, multiple times a day, just when I need to just stop, breathe, check out, be distracted for, you know, 3 minutes. I love taking those games and playing those.
Andrika, what about you? Anything on an app or a piece of tech you use every day that helps you take a little bit of a break?
Well, I'm a bit vanilla, remember? So, I mean, I don't really have many apps on my phone. I do have Instagram, but I actually find it's the reverse for me. It's not good for my mental health because you waste so much time on it. So I'm trying to like step back from the limited amount of tech that I use. But I do watch TV a lot, and I love it. I'm not getting rid of that anytime soon.
Wait, do you still have your old phone or you have to delete and reinstall apps to have enough room to take
an
Uber?
I have upgraded since then, and I would probably say the second most used app is Uber Eats.
There you go. Yeah, that's how I have my fun. Yeah,
spending an hour trying to figure out what to eat, you know?
It's a joke between me and my phone that I have a folder called Productivity that has Skip the Dishes and Uber Eats inside of it. That's a little
so what do you too. What takes longer to scroll through, Netflix or one of the eating apps?
I'd say the eating app.
Depends, how hangry you are. Right?
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes you just start making compromises along the way.
I'll watch Fantasy Island, but I can't figure out what pizza I'm going to eat.
The floor is lava. Do I want pepperoni? Sam, what about you? Any piece of tech or an app that you use to sort of take a break?
Well, obviously I'm using my phone here. I think that's one that's going to be accessible for everybody. And I want to just bring up that this is a really nerdy thing, but this is also super cool. So the Cornell University in the United States has one of the most famous labs for ornithology. And of sort of bird sounds and identification, they have an app called BirdNet. So you go around, you hold up your phone, it's giving you a spectral readout, you record it, it uploads it to the cloud, and it sends you back what bird you've been listening to. And I think that's just the most fascinating thing. And for somebody who likes
Shazam for birds.
Exactly, like Shazam for birds. And obviously the same technology, too. So I really enjoy it. But that's just one of the things, other than, you know, your garden variety of, you know, text and messages.
Very good.
Yeah, social media.
Very good. Hey, guys, this is a lot of fun. Sam, Mike, Andrika, thank you guys for all collectively filling in for Nelson. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.